You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show. Welcome to Doom. I'm your host, Timmy Doom. This episode, I'm continuing the 1 degree of separation type idea that I started in the last episode. Last episode, I reviewed Hawkman number 23, in which Hawkman, it was a crossover between Hawkman and JSA for a story called Black Rain. But it was mostly JSA, and there was a lot of JSA characters in there. So one of the characters was Dr. Fate. So let's do a Dr. Fate story. Kind of a JSA theme here in my 1 degree of separation. That Dr. Fate was Hector Hall. This Dr. Fate is Kent Nelson. In the comic book I just read, old comic book from 1975, DC First Issue Special Number 9, Dr. Fate. It's a one-shot. Now, Dr. Fate been around just like the rest of the JSA since the Golden Age. And even though they've been around since the 40s, Dr. Fate hasn't had consistent running series. Well, this is a reboot of the character. I was going to say a reimagination, but no, yeah, it's kind of a reimagination for the modern times, at least the time that it came out, 1975, they decided to put Dr. Fate in First Issue Special, since he's one of the classic characters. I don't know why they didn't just give him his own series, but maybe this comic book didn't sell that much, and they decided not to give him his own series, at least not in 1975. Kent Nelson, who is the original Dr. Fate, and he's going off on an adventure to... Basically, let's cut to the chase with this story. It was written by Martin Pascal, art by Walt Simonson. Now, I want to say this much. Walt Simonson's art is great. It's banging in this. From what I know him from is always hearing about the Thor Walt Simonson run in the 80s and how great it supposedly was. I was never interested in it because, one, I wasn't a big Thor fan, of course, like a lot of people. And two, the art turned me off. The Walt Simonson art from that mid-80s thing turned me off. I don't like his art. But this art from the 70s was good. This is when he first started out. It was more conventional looking. And I dig it. Okay, the Dr. Fate is going after this guy, Kalis, who is he's a mummy come back to life. You know, he's fueled by an Egyptian god, an evil Egyptian god. Dr. Fate, his power comes from a good, supposedly good Egyptian god, Nabu, even though I don't know how good Nabu really is. But, you know, anyway, Dr. Fate versus the mummy. That's what this is, a very powerful mummy who snatches Dr. Fate's amulet. Now, the real, let's say, memorable part of the story is Dr. Fate's wife, or I should say, Kent Nelson's wife. Okay, now, Kent Nelson and his wife, Enza Nelson, from what I read, they've been around since the Golden Age of comics. I never heard of her until this story, and she's a bitch. She's a shrew. He should divorce her. She shouldn't be a constant, and she is a constant as far as Kent Nelson is concerned, from the 40s to the 90s at least. She's a constant in his life, and she shouldn't be if she's like this. He comes home beat up and battered by the mummy as Dr. Fate, and she, you know, she tries to nurse him, but she's complaining the whole time. She's like, he says, She says, I banish your wounds, wake you from your nightmares. I stay up all night wondering if you ever come home, but will he tell me what he does to you? No! And Kent says, do we have to go through this now, Enza? He? You mean me? I'm Dr. Fate.
No, Kent, you're not. You're Kent Nelson, my husband. Kent doesn't fly. He doesn't cast spells. He doesn't summon demons. He's my husband. And my husband has a face, not a mask. My husband is a kind and loving, but an ordinary man. And I'm like, bitch, don't call me ordinary. I mean, what? Don't downgrade me. I'm Dr. Fate, bitch. But anyways, my husband isn't the kind that a man that runs around after ridiculous menaces, which don't concern him, then come home half dead. He doesn't dump himself in the lap of the woman who loves him, and then just ask him to put her back together and... Kent? Kent? Kent's not... He's knocked out. He's sleeping. And she takes the cup of coffee that she was going to give him and throws it at him against, but she just misses his head and it hits the wall. Crack! Meanwhile, he's still knocked out asleep. This reminds me of an episode of Behind the Music in the group Heart, and Ann Wilson and Nancy Wilson, they're two sisters in the rock group Heart. Ann Wilson's brother, not brother, I'm sorry, Ann Wilson's boyfriend was in the group at the time. She dumped him and he got upset. So backstage, he took his guitar and he threw it. And Nancy Wilson describes it. Oh, I'm getting all mixed up. It was Nancy Wilson's boyfriend who threw the guitar at Nancy, just missed her head. And Ann was talking about it on Behind the Music. She said, oh yeah, he threw that guitar at her head and it just missed her head by 5 inches. Okay, and they played it up in here like he's crazy, he was abusive, and all that stuff. And that's what this reminds me of. So how can if a man was drawn this way in a comic book where he throwing plates and shit at his wife's head and just missed it, he would be gone from the story. He would be labeled an abusive husband. Just look at Hank Pym, how he's characterized. So why isn't Kent Nelson divorcing Enza Nelson? Why is she portrayed as a bitch? Instead, she was at one point made into Dr. Fate in the 90s. I hate this bitch. Now it turns out she ends up helping her husband defeat Kalis at the end. But he, in this story, he seems to be pen-pecked and beaten, you know, by his wife. And continuing that, in Dr. Fate number 24, the only other Dr. Fate comic I had, I found all these things in the dollar bin and 25-cent bin. This one from 1990, I got in the 25-cent bin. I got it because in the first page, first of all, I saw that it was done in one story, just like the 1975 story I just read or just reviewed from First Issue Special. That was done in one. That's why I bought it. This was done in one, I could tell. That's why I bought it. Even though it's 1991, it's still done in one. But the late 80s to now, I always make sure they're done in one comics, because those comics like to be continuity heavy. And I like to read, if I'm just coming to a comic, like I don't read Dr. Fate, I don't know nothing about him. So I bought this comic from 1991, saw it was done in one, and said, okay, cool, let's check out a Dr. Fate adventure. But alas, like all modern comics, this comic, even though it's supposedly done in one, you can only know what's going on if you read all the other Dr. Fate comics from this run. J.M. DeMatteis wrote this story, and it's confusing and it's all fucked up. And the only reason I know any other character, the only two characters I know from this story is Enza and Kent Nelson, and of course Phantom Stranger. He's telling a story of a little girl. It's Phantom Stranger and a little girl. They're in a black void, okay, in some magical nowhere land, and he's telling her a story about these people who live in the house. The only two characters I recognize in this house is Enza and Kent Nielsen, and they try to make it like they're a lovely couple. And there's two other guys and a dog that talks, and there's a little boy who lives there also. And it turns out, you know, when I first read this comic, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, and I had to put it aside. But after I read this 1975 comic book and know who Enza and Kent were, now I can look back and know what the story's about. Basically, she thinks they're in heaven because she's got the perfect life with her husband, her kid, and all that. But the other two guys and the dog, they and Kent are telling her that we are in Naboo's helmet. We're in Dr. Fate's helmet or his amulet or something like that. We're trapped in another world. And she's so bitter and angry, and she still hates Naboo like she did in the 1975 comics. And she's yelling at Kent. She's pushing him. When anytime anyone tries to tell her anything, she yells and screams back at them. Okay? She's a bitch, but she's not portrayed as that in the comic book. And she should be. Okay? And the little girl is wanting back to the nowhere land where just a little girl, Phantom Stranger, is. They're telling stories about the little girl's parents, supposedly the little girl's parents. I'm not sure if it's her parents or not. That's how confusing this story is. And how the mother dies, but another soul comes into the mother's body to take over her life. And that's basically, and the father meets with another soul that used to live in his body. And basically that's this whole comic is some new age shit. I mean, the current Dr. Fate, his wife is dying, but another soul is going into her body, and it's weird. And here's the weirdest part of the story, is the part with the interstitial part where Phantom Stranger is telling this little girl stories. He's holding a little girl in her hand. She's laughing. She's sitting in his lap, and he's cradling her. She's about maybe 5 years old, 4 or 5. And she's asking about this confusing shit about the story that no little kid would have the fucking... No adult would have the attention span to listen to this fucking story without asking 1,000 questions. But she's like, how does the Avatar wake everybody up? You don't ask me what she means by that, because the story is all confusing. And she says, does he shout like mommy does when I won't get up for school in the morning? And Phantom Stranger says, no. The only way the Avatar wakes people up is with love. As he's grinning at the little girl. Then she kisses him on the cheek, and he smiles, and she says, it makes sense to me. I knew it would. Want to hear some more about Kent and Enza now? And the little girl is so excited to hear this boring story about Kent and Enza. She says, yes, I do. And he kisses her on the cheek. And it's the creepiest shit. A man who is not her father, a middle-aged man, kissing a 5-year-old girl on the cheek as she sits cradling in his arms. And she's smiling. This is a pedophile's dream right here. This is a fucking disgusting shit. And the art here is weird. I guess it's the guy, Sean McManus, does the art. And there's a little boy who's supposed to be Kenton Enza's child. And he doesn't even exist. He's a figment of her imagination. and there's what is that with all these stories of, like, Scarlet Witch's children were a figment of her imagination? And well, anyway, forget all that. The kid, the point is, the kid looks so fucking creepy. He looks like that mannequin. Remember that movie Magic with the mannequin, the talking mannequin? That's what his eyes look like. Too big for his head. And he's grinning like an adult. It's creepy. He looks like, his grin looks like the Joker. This guy has some creepy art. Well, eventually everybody in the house comes to realize they're not in a real spot, and they're not in a real tangible world, and they are released by Naboo to the real world. One of the guys chooses to stay, but everybody else leaves. And then, you know, all these other people die in the story. There's two other stories where people are dying and new souls come into their body and they get to continue to live. It's some new age shit. And at one point, there's a panel where the helmet of Dr. Fate is just floating there, and suddenly a light fills it up, and there Dr. Fate is standing there now, his whole body, Dr. Fate. He's in one panel of the comic book. He's not Dr. Fate isn't saying anything. He's in one fucking panel of this whole 24 pages, or whatever, however many pages this comic book is. And then there's a character who looks like Jesus, who is releasing people's souls. It's some new age stuff, or some weird shit. Yeah, and like Enza and the rest of the guys in the house, they're released to go into the world. And the creepy is the weirdest part of this. Okay, the little girl, I guess she's released to her parents again. And so that's good, because she's getting away from that goddamn creepy ass phantom stranger. At least he is in this story. Then Jesus appears next to him, or somebody who looks like Jesus, a mixture between Jesus and Groucho Marx. That's what this guy looks like. And they walk away. He and phantom stranger walk into the distance, and a creepy smile just appears in the middle of a black screen, like a creepy yellow smile. It's weird. It's just fucking creepy. Because it's so creepy, I gotta give it thumbs up, because it's one of those comics you gotta make fun of, because it's a new age. It's as weird as one of those Jack T chick comic books. So that's Dr. Fate, my review of Dr. Fate. This has been Doom. If you got any comments on this episode, any suggestions for comics to review, go to the website doomcast.blogspot.com and leave a comment on the post for this episode. Until next time, peace.
Doom, the Retro Comic Book Show.